Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Hey everyone, Randy. Brand new week and the reviews on my book Muslim coming in already. D. Edward Bungert, Bronx, New York, says, just finished Muslim. It's a game changer. Here is my review. So far, I do not see where it can be submitted on Amazon, but I will be sure to post this wherever book reviews are available. And in the review, he says, in a word, courageous. Against everything this politically correct culture of ours wants us to believe about Islam. Hank Hanegraaff dares to tell the truth. Islam's turbulent history, as well as its insatiable appetite for violent jihad and dominance in the world today, is not only clearly articulated, but its religious doctrine masterfully compared to the truth of Christianity. Getting the book Muslim into the hands of as many people as possible might just be the jump start a lethargic church, and indeed our entire Western civilization needs at this critical point in history. Thank you, Edward. This has been an interesting time for global Islamic jihad. Saturday, a Somalian refugee harboring an Islamic State flag rammed his Chevy into a Canadian police officer and allegedly stabbed him before being arrested. Then Sunday, a global Islamic jihadist shouting Allahu Akbar murdered two women in the French city of Marseille. And just this morning, I awoke to the news of the largest mass murder in U.S. history. At present, 58 confirmed dead and 515 injured. And though not confirmed, the Islamic State designated the killer, his name was Stephen Paddock, a global soldier of Islamic Jihad. Whether or not he was is yet to be determined. However, as Graham Wood noted today in The Atlantic, the Islamic State seldom has taken credit for that which it has no involvement with. In fact, the narrative that the Islamic State simply scans the news in search of mass killings and then sends out press releases in hope of stealing glory is false. Whatever we find out, I can tell you this. It doesn't take a prophet to predict that terrorist attacks, whether by the Islamic State or even more dangerous jihadist groups, will continue to escalate. One need look no further than Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has spent $100 billion, perhaps much, much more, to spread their fundamentalist brand of Islamic jihadism around the globe. And to give you some comparison, the Soviets spent about $7 billion spreading communism worldwide. But think about this. $100 billion or more compared to $7 billion. And then you have to look at that $7 billion. That was spread over a period of 70 years, 1921, 1991. Thomas Friedman was right. In a provocative New York Times piece titled, "A Radical Islamic BFF Saudi Arabia." The title, "Greatest Purveyor of Radical Islam," belongs to our putative ally, Saudi Arabia. It went on to say it is not an accident that several thousand Saudis have joined the Islamic State, or that Arab Gulf charities have spent a tremendous amount of money sending ISIS donations. It is because Sunni jihadist groups, including ISIS, are the ideological offspring of the Wahhabism injected by Saudi Arabia into mosques and madrasas. And we, America, have never called them on that because we're addicted to their oil, and addicts never tell the truth to their pushers. Instead, America has enabled Saudi terror lords to peddle their poisonous propaganda pills across the planet with impunity. And that's not just my opinion. No less a luminary than Hillary Clinton agrees, saying that donors in Saudi Arabia constitute the most significant source of funding to Sunni terrorist groups worldwide. And I think even more alarming still is that, according to former Democratic Senator Bob Graham, Saudi Arabia has direct ties to the massacres of September 11, 2001. Against the weight of political correctness, Graham was brave enough to dub ISIS a product of Saudi ideals, Saudi money, and Saudi organizational support. Of course, all of this is being whitewashed in the Western world. In the Western world, Sharia subservient states, including Saudi Arabia, are consistently portrayed as peace-loving allies in the fight against terrorism. Little wonder then when the Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia declared it necessary to destroy every church in the whole of the Arabian Peninsula, the West did not so much as blink. Worse yet, Western governments, and that along with academic institutions and media outlets, have proven themselves to be co-belligerents in exporting a false narrative respecting the religious tenets that animate the Islamic State. And I have to say this, probably not politically correct, but it's the truth. To date, the worst co-belligerent to Islamic jihadism was the 8-year Obama administration. If Obama was consistent in anything, it was his resolute refusal to make any association between Islam and acts of terrorism. Think about the Orlando massacre. We have short memories. Omar Mateen called the cops to pledge his fealty to ISIS as he was carrying out his mass murder. Remember that took place 2016, Orlando nightclub. And the Obama administration went so far as to release a redacted transcript of the 911 call by Mateen, which had scrubbed Mateen's pledges to ISIS and other references deemed to be propaganda. Of one thing, the Obama administration was certain: all references to Islam must characterize it as a tradition of peace, charity, and justice. And who can forget the directive of U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder? He categorically forbade any law enforcement training materials that impinged upon the Islam means peace narrative. U.S. Attorney Dwight Holton was adamant in this regard. His words are encapsulated in my book. Let me quote them. He said, "I want to be perfectly clear about this. Training materials that portray Islam as a religion of violence or with a tendency towards violence are wrong. They're offensive. They're contrary to everything that this president, this attorney general, and the Department of Justice stands for. And therefore," said Holton, "they will not be tolerated." Well, whether the Islamic State is going to succeed in its murderous mission to expand its caliphate, or whether it'll be supplanted by an even more dangerous ideological child, well, that remains to be seen. But what we do know is this: the caliphate that Ataturk abolished March 3, 1924, has returned with a vengeance. And the tragedy is that it has returned amid a crumbling post-Christian culture. Make no mistake, we are now at a tipping point in history. And I say that because while squarely in the blind spot of the West, Christians in the Middle East, they're facing mass genocide. And concurrently, we have a demographic time bomb threatening a Western world. A Western world that seems to be blind to the polygamous rush of migrant Muslims filling the vacuum left by aging, dying, and aborted Western natives. I wrote my book, Muslim, because it's time that we got our arms, as it were, around an epidemic. Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world, soon to replace Christianity as the largest religion in the world. And that is a travesty. Why? Because they're willing to do for a lie what Christians are not willing to do for the truth. And think about the fact that in Saudi Arabia, you have fantastically wealthy oil barons willing to inject 100 or more million dollars into propaganda for Islam, into global Islamic jihadism. And today, Christian organizations are struggling to get out the message of Christianity. Think about what these oil barons are willing to do for a lie. Should we not be willing to do as much or more for the truth? Again, that's why I wrote Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, to get a good sense of who Muhammad was, why the Quran is an unreliable revelation, the danger of Sharia to women with respect to war and with respect to Western civilization, the Levant, and why it is so important to Muslims at this particular strategic time in history. And then the Islamic State, not just as ISIS or ISIL, as it was dubbed, or Daesh, but rather as an end-time Islamic caliphate that seeks to bring the whole world into Dar al-Islam. And I think most important of all is for you and I to know the major Muslim misapprehensions that are being communicated and now being sanctified in the Western world. We need to know the difference between that which is true and that which is false. All of that in Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion, available to those who support the ministry. And when you get it from the Christian Research Institute, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend as you join CRI's monthly support team. Again, Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion. I spent 3 years putting this book together. I think it'll be an eye-opener, and hopefully it will make a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. Be right back in just a few moments with your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, 888-ASK-HANK. Be back.
While legions of the theologically clueless and politically correct fall over themselves in their rush to paint a warmer and kinder picture of Islam, you might well be wondering, what's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff clearly answers the question in his new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive the book, Muslim, as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Coen brothers are among the most critically acclaimed film directors of our time, yet the meaning behind their movies is often veiled in mystery. This offers a clue about the Coens' worldview. The difficulty is part of the design. Other topics include changing attitudes toward the resurrection of Jesus. Is a pro-life hermeneutic possible? How to revive a dead church? The Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org.
Thank you.
With 1,600,000,000 strong and growing, Islam is poised to fill a vacuum left by a Western culture slouching inexorably towards Gomorrah. Demographics alone are alarming. While polygamist Muslims boast a robust birth rate, native Westerners are moving rapidly towards self-extinction. Filling the void are multiplied millions of Muslims who have no intention of assimilating into Western culture. But there is one real solution to a disintegrating West and resurgent Islam. It is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And within a few days, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion will be available in bookstores everywhere, as well as Amazon, wherever you consume your favorite books. Let's go to the phone lines. Nancy, North Hollywood, California. Hi, Nancy.
Yes, hi. I hope you can hear me all right.
You sound
my
great.
My phone's a little... Is it okay?
Yeah.
Thank God. I just firstly want to say how truly I appreciate your dedication to our Lord and Savior and all the work you do in depth and just so profound. And God bless you, your wife, family, and ministry, just firstly. And I have a question pertaining to our Lord's, the word. I know that when one suffers for the Lord, it's a privilege. And I just wondered, since I am a Christian and I love the Lord, I do go through a lot, but it's very good in building my character. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to get to serve in my own way. And I just wondered, since before I knew the Lord, of course, He always knew me, He chose us, so then would it be fair to say that if something happened before I was a Christian, it's still happening? I assume I'm suffering for the Lord now since I'm a Christian, but it might be something carried over from when I wasn't, but then I was in His eyes. So I'm not sure if you is that not clear? Or
no, I think that's clear, Nancy. I think that certainly, you know, there's a sense in which we all suffer because we all live in a fallen world. The universe itself groans in travail, awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay. And we ourselves also suffer the ravages of a fallen world. But as a Christian, you can suffer either through self-inflicted wounds, or you can suffer for doing that which is right. And so I love what Peter says in this regard. I mean, there's a famous passage that is so often quoted by apologists, which goes like this: but in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and with respect. But then Peter goes on saying, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than to suffer for doing evil. And the Apostle Paul personified that when in Philippians chapter 3, and I've quoted this passage many, many times, but it's one of my favorite, where he says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. And then Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. So what Paul is talking about here is dying to the old life and living a new life, a life that embraces suffering because we look forward to the reward. Now, this is not self-inflicted suffering. This is suffering for the sake of Christ. And you see this in the Middle East with Christians who are now facing mass genocide, and they're asked to renounce Christ. They have the option, you can say the Shahada and become a Muslim. You can submit, pay the jizya or the poll tax and be a dhimmi, or you can face the sword. And so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ in this generation have chosen the sword. And some of them have gone through incredible suffering in the process, seeing a loved one raped and murdered before their eyes, or crucified or beheaded. That's suffering for the cause of Christ. In the West, we have a softer kind of suffering, but suffering nonetheless, where you're persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And what a lot of people do is they try to avoid that suffering. And the way they avoid that suffering is by simply, well, becoming politically correct, adapting to the culture. And that we must never do.
I know that. I'm on board. I think that I was wired that way because, as I said, shall I call you Mr. Hannah?
Just Hank.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess my question is more specifically, and thank you, everything was right on. I get it more definitively. However, the one thing that resonates, I want to make sure that I'm not feeling some kind of, I don't want to be grandiose, I want to put the Lord first, and I don't want to be abused to the point where the Lord is not being the focal point. I don't want to be I'm not supposed to be, I don't want to be, I don't desire to be, so it's very annoying to be physically abused, or I don't mean by someone that I necessarily know personally, just some things that have been carried over, but it's amazing how the Lord strengthens us and gives us the courage and the determination and the intelligence, really, because quite frankly, we're all idiots without him. So just, I mean, even people that aren't, you know what I mean, because I've been very humbled. I meant myself, of course, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity to serve in any way, and I mean, gosh, it's so neat. I never thought that I could, well, I hope to become a lawyer soon and to help people that have been wrongly, you know, our brothers and sisters throughout the world, etc. And I'm just so excited about being a part of the body of Christ. It's so, I just am like a little kid inside.
Well, your testimony is very encouraging to all of us. I mean, we are so grateful to God that He gives us good times, and if He gives us bad times, we see that even in those bad times, that the Lord carries us as a small lamb across the threshold, ultimately, not only in this life, but across the Jordan into a new heaven, a new earth, where indwells righteousness. Let's go to Leslie in Madison, Mississippi. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I've been reading your book, Afterlife and Apocalypse Code, and I really enjoy them. And even though they're pretty over my head, I try to keep up because I'm not the smartest one, but I'm trying. Okay, my question is about Romans 11, when Paul talks about the remnant and the elect. And is he talking, when he says Israel, is he talking about Israel as Christians today in Christ, or is he, what does he mean when he says remnant and the elect? What is he talking about?
Well, sure. You know, when you think about it, in the New Testament, you have the Israel of God. And the Israel of God is equated to Israel in the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, you have true Israel, as well as those who say they are Jews but are not. They're a synagogue of Satan, as Jesus himself put it. So all Israel, and this is delineated in the most beautiful way in the book of Revelation, by way of illustration. So John talks about the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and he talks about the 12 tribes of Israel. And he takes the 12 times 12, 144, and multiplies it by 1,000 to give you the sense of the full complement of God's people from every tongue and tribe, from every people throughout the world that call upon the name of the Lord and thus are friends of God. So it's interesting when you look at Abraham, he was a friend of God, though he predates Israel. And then Israel, you have not only made up of people from a particular ethnicity, but rather made up from people who are from the broad spectrum of the peoples of this world. Meaning in the Old Testament, you'd have Ruth, a Moabite, and yet she is considered true Israel. You'd have Rahab, a Canaanite, and yet she is considered true Israel. So it never had anything to do with the particular place you were born, your birth mother. It had to do whether you were a follower of Yahweh, the God of Israel. And if you are, then you are true Israel. And this is true as much in the Old Testament as it is in the New. I gave you examples from the Old Testament, but in the New, Peter is emphatic. He finds out through a vision God gives him that God does not show favoritism. And when he fully embraces this, he goes to the Cornelius and he tells Cornelius, a Gentile, you know, I now understand what God means. He's not one who plays favorites, but he chooses those who love him from every generation, from every people. And that was an epiphany to Peter, and oftentimes an epiphany even to people in the present. God is no respecter of people. If you are in Christ, you're the seed of Abraham. You are an heir according to the promise. And the beautiful conclusion that Paul makes in Galatians chapter 3 is that this is true whether you're male or female, has nothing to do with gender, whether you're slave or free, has nothing to do with your station in life, and whether you're Jew or Greek, has nothing to do with your nationality or your ethnicity. If you are in Christ, you're the royal seed of Abraham. And so God is, as it were, he is putting together the full complement of his people that inevitably will be carried over the threshold of Jordan, as I alluded to earlier, into a new Jerusalem where there is no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. And one other thing I'd add to this, just as a postscript, if you're addicted to the Jerusalem below, says Paul in Galatians chapter 4, the next chapter, he says you're in bondage. But if you are addicted to the Jerusalem that is above the city of God, then you are truly free. So that's what we put our hope in, not in the city of man, but rather in the city of God. Coming up to station break, we'll be back on this side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Also, the quote of the day, it is from a book that I'm really excited to put into your hands. It's called The Last Christians. We'll talk about that a little bit when we come back from the break. Be right back.
For most Americans, pronouncements from our public officials that Islam is a religion of peace are impossible to reconcile with daily headlines and jarring photos of global Islamic jihadist atrocities. To help you understand the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and other life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
Thank you. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recent scholarly research has been significantly more open toward Jesus' healing the sick, his empty tomb, and even his post-resurrection appearances. So why have these same critics not fallen to their knees and proclaimed, "My Lord and my God"? Other topics include the Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, the Cohen brothers and the riddle of existence, defending the biblical view of human sexuality using an effective Socratic question approach, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Grave is the specter of global Islamic jihadism now exacting mass genocide on Christians in the East and ever multiplying terrorist attacks throughout the West. Worse still, Western governments, academic institutions, and media outlets seem bent on exporting a false narrative respecting the religious animus animating global Islamic jihadism. In Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, Hank Hanegraaff not only outlines the problems in accessible and memorable fashion, but moves toward potential solutions in the clash of civilizations. Receive your copy of Muslim as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from Andreas Knupp. It's from his book, The Last Christian, Stories of Persecutions, Flight, and Resilience in the Middle East. And in it, he writes this, whether an enlightened Islam can emerge remains to be seen. What is clear is that imams or intellectuals who advocate a modern Islam or a marginal phenomenon in Muslim countries and often face death threats. At the same time, Islam benefits from European values and rights such as religious freedom and tolerance, which help it spread without having to adopt those same fundamental rights itself. Europe is under the illusion that the Muslim masses pouring into the continent are peaceable and tolerant. By contrast, Saudi Arabia and Qatar don't take any refugees, even though they share the same religion, language, and culture, precisely because they fear unrest and terror. Again, that is by Andreas Knupp in his book, The Last Christians. And that book is available for those who support the ministry. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Even as I wrote my own book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, I was constantly looking for tremendous books on Islam. And I remember reading The Last Christians and being so touched by Andreas Knupp and his story. He went to the Middle East. He lives in Germany. And I interviewed him recently. But he lives in Germany, and he was invited to go to a funeral of a friend in Iraq. And there he came face to face with the mass genocide of Christians. And I remember picking up this book, The Last Christians, and I simply could not put it down. It is absolutely stirring in some sense, in that you see what Christ can do in the lives of real Christians facing real genocide. He can give them peace in the midst of the storm. What happened in the first century is now happening in the 21st century, as people are being martyred for their faith, and they're dying without any sense of rejecting their Lord and Savior. Sort of reminiscent of what happened with Polycarp. Remember where Polycarp said, 86 years have I served him. Will I now reject the king who saved me? And so he succumbed to the flames, but not in terror, rather knowing that you can kill the body, but even that is only temporary. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, but one day our bodies will resurrect immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. We will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And so resurrection is a game changer. We know that we will be changed, and we will live forever in a new space-time continuum. So whatever we're going through, we can face it with assurance. I'm facing tomorrow. I'm going to get a PET scan, and I'm wondering what that PET scan will reveal. Will my tumors be gone? Will there still be tumors there? What's the next step forward? I don't know, but I know someone that does. And so you can go through whatever you go through with ultimate peace in your heart. It doesn't mean it's not difficult. It doesn't mean we're not human. It simply means that we have a God who holds us in the hollow of his hand. I want to deal with something that I've been asked on social media, and I've been sort of dying to get to this question because I thought it was well worded and an important question, and I'll just read it to you. You said gender is inextricably tied to biology. That one's biological sex objectively determines a person's gender, regardless of how that person subjectively feels about his or her gender. I thank God for your biblical clarity and conviction, but with all the confusion about sex and gender, I'm now wondering whether God has a gender. Please help. Pretty interesting question. And I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer book, Collector's Edition, and the essential points I make are these. It has become politically correct in Christian circles. It's even become popular to sort of adapt language that has to do with God. And some have even supplemented the Trinitarian language of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with feminine formulations. You've probably heard them. Mother, child, and womb. And that, of course, raises the important question that has just been asked, does God have gender? Well, to find the answer to that question, you simply go to Scripture. And Scripture tells us that God created man in his own image and likeness. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God creates both male and female in his image, but he does not participate in one or the other gender. God instead transcends gender. Now, the Bible does use masculine titles for God. It uses titles such as Father and Son. But if you read further, you also will recognize that the Bible employs feminine images for God. Images like mother, midwife. And by the way, his judgment of Israel is likened in Scripture to that of a mother bear robbed of her cubs. So whether masculine or feminine, all these images are what I call anthropomorphisms. They are personifications that reveal God to us in ways that we can apprehend, ways that we can understand. And I suppose there's a final point I should make in this regard. It is that the language we use for God should clarify rather than confuse. In the absence of biblical warrant, I think we ought to stop tampering with the traditional titles for God. It's become popular, it's become politically correct, but stop. It's a grave mistake to sacrifice theological clarity, particularly when it comes to the nature of God and the nature of relationships between the divine persons of the Godhead, to sacrifice all of this on the altar of political correctness. And we are unfortunately making this mistake over and over again. It's time that we stop doing this. And I'm not now speaking to the culture as much as I'm speaking to the church, because the church has become a microcosm of the culture. And we're called to be change agents in the culture. Excuse me for getting a little animated here, but it's increasingly frustrating to me that the church is not transforming the culture, but being transformed by the culture. We've lost our way. And we need to get back to the path, because if we don't, we'll be swallowed up by the culture. We'll be swallowed up by cultural narratives. It's increasingly distressing to me to hear Christians in polite conversation simply mouthing narratives they've heard over and over again in the media, which tells me something. It tells me that these Christians are spending a whole lot more time listening to the culture than they are listening to the words of Scripture. And the solution is to get back into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. Without that, you will lack discernment skills. That is why the core values of this ministry involve giving answers, which I do on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, through the Christian Research Journal, through the newsletter, and in many other forums 24/7 around the world. But it's also a core value of the Christian Research Institute, and has been for 60 years, to help people gain biblical literacy as well as historical literacy, and then to counter cults and world religions, Muslim falling into both categories. It is a cult of Arabian paganism, of Judaism, and Christianity. It's really not a religion in the Western sanitized sense of the word. It is ultimately a socio-religio-political system that rides on the rails of Sharia. And to that end, I wrote Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. But we're also interested in life. Truth matters, life matters more. So we're interested in letting people know what it means to be a partaker of the divine nature. What it means to be intimately involved in the ground and pillar of truth, which is the church, ecclesia. And then we're looking forward to the answer to the Lord's high priestly prayer, where he prayed, may they be as one, just as you and I are one. At present, we are fissured, fragmented. We need to experience fusion. It takes a lot of work, but we must be fused together around the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And I'm deeply grateful for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me to that end in the battle for life and truth. Now remember, when you support the ministry all this month, Muslim, I can personalize a copy for you. Coming out to you is my way of saying thank you for your support and making a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. Be back here tomorrow with more.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Did you know that the Quran and the Hadith are full of commands to subjugate or kill unbelievers, and that Sharia mandates proactive and perpetual war against Jews and Christians? In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Coen brothers are among the most critically acclaimed film directors of our time. Yet the meaning behind their movies is often veiled in mystery. This offers a clue about the Coens' worldview. The difficulty is part of the design. Other topics include changing attitudes toward the resurrection of Jesus. Is a pro-life hermeneutic possible? How to revive a dead church? The Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org.
The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.